And this passage that we have just read together brings us to consider that day whenever Joseph and Mary brought the infant Christ into the temple to present him to the Lord and to do with him according to the custom of Moses. On that day, the Holy Ghost was active, and we observe a number of wonderful encounters between individuals and the Lord Jesus. Certainly it was a marvelous day for those who met Christ for the first time as he was brought in, for his dedication to the Lord and for him to be circumcised and to be dealt with according to the laws of Moses. One of those men who met the Lord that day was Simeon. And Simeon is not mentioned anywhere else in the scriptures. We have only a few words regarding him, but what we know of him here presents him certainly as a precious individual who truly loved the Lord. The name Simeon means a hearing or hearkening unto, and it indicates to us that he was a man who listened to the voice of God and was obedient to the word of the Lord. He was a man who responded to God's word and acted upon it. And this is very clear from what we read in verse 26. We're told there, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And it was as a result of that word that Simeon was waiting. And here we see then that he was a man who lived in the reality of what God had told him. The expectancy came as a result of the word of God. He is described here as being just and devout. He was a holy man, a godly man. The word devout has the sense of taking seriously the promises of God, or to receive the word of God with discernment. He then was a man who took God's word in a solemn and in a devout manner. It's interesting that the word devout here is used of those who carried Stephen to his burial after his martyrdom. And it reflects then that he was a man who loved God's people and who was careful in all that he did to honor the Lord. A righteous man, justified before God and walking in accordance with the laws of God. What the Lord had done in his own soul, the faith that he had, was evidenced in a pious character, in a godly lifestyle. It was reflected in his fear and reverence for God, and therefore he is a person of which we should follow his example. He is someone that we should seek to be like, because here is a man who most of all lived by faith. He was trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was seeking the glory of God. And it is only by faith that we can live for God's glory and that we can take up Christ. And we see that in verse 28. We read there, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God." And it's obvious from the context that Simeon took up the Lord in his arms by faith. He received him as his own Savior. He says that himself, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And he trusted in this infant Savior. The character of his faith is the same as ours. It was an expectancy and a dependence completely upon Christ. And that was observable in his life. Truly we can say of this man, as we are told in Hebrews 11 and the verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And Simeon, before he met the Lord, had not seen Christ. Yet he lived by faith. He was looking for Christ. And so I want us to consider this man this evening, Simeon, and let us observe a number of things about him that should be reflected in our lives and of which we too ought to be characterized by. Let me set them before you. Firstly, you will notice that he lived in the expectancy of the coming of Christ. He lived in the expectancy of the coming of Christ. Read in verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him." So he was a man characterized by waiting. And the word waiting means to expect the fulfillment of promises, to look to receive something or to accept something. He, as it were, was a man who had his arms open, waiting to receive something that he was certain was going to happen. If you look in verse 38, we read of the same thing, and that prophetess Anna, we read in verse 38, "And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." And the word "looked" there is the same word, waiting. And so Simeon then had an anticipation. He was someone who was always looking, waiting, watching for the arrival of the Messiah. We could say he was on duty, expecting at any moment for the Lord to come. He was, in other words, like the faithful servants of which Christ spoke of, who were waiting for the arrival of their master. And he was exercising faith in the coming Christ of which he was expecting. How wonderful this is put here. It says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Here is one of the wonderful names given to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's called the Comfort of Israel, the comfort of his people. It indicated that the one who Simeon was expecting to come would speak comfortably to Israel and would bring comfort to them as their Redeemer and their Savior. And this had been prophesied. If you look with me in Isaiah 40 and the verse 1. And here we recognize that Isaiah himself spoke of Jesus Christ as the one who would bring comfort to Israel. Read there in Isaiah 40 in the verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And of course, that is the prequel to the coming of the Lord. What follows in verse 3 is the prophecy regarding John the Baptist, who would declare the coming of the Lord. And the point is that the entrance of Christ into this world was the entrance of one who would bring comfort and consolation, who would come near to those who were in the bondage of sin, those who were enslaved, and would deliver them, would bind up their wounds, would apply that balm for their healing, would open their eyes, would deliver them from their sins. This encouragement came from God himself coming to his people. It's marvelous, isn't it? This consolation wasn't just another prophet sent of God. This was God himself stepping into time, beseeching and calling his people to himself. And so Simeon's faith then was looking forward to the first coming of Christ. I suggest to you that we ought to be looking in this same way to Christ's second coming. We should be looking for his return in this way. I wonder, can it be said of us that We are waiting for the coming of Christ again. We are looking for His second coming. And we are characterized by that expectancy. And that is how we are to be characterized. If you turn with me to Titus 2 and the verse 13. Titus chapter 2 and the verse 13. And there we read that God's people are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking, waiting for, expecting. I wonder, dear child of God, how often you think about that. The coming of Christ, the King coming back to this world. How often are we caught up in the things of this world and we forget that time and history is in the hands of our King. And at the appointed time, He will come again and He will bring consolation. Isn't that what the Scriptures teach us? That when we are delivered in glory to heaven and we are with Christ, there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. We will be delivered from this body of death. Surely then, as we think of the second coming of Christ, we can describe it as consolation, comfort. And indeed, it was the teaching of the Apostle Paul that we as God's people are to comfort one another with the truth of the second coming of Christ. What does this mean in practical terms? It means that we are to live as though Christ could come today. We are to be like the bride who is preparing for her bridegroom's arrival and expecting that any moment the sound of the bridegroom will be heard, that he will be on the doorstep, as it were, and our lamps are trimmed and bright. Surely it follows from this that we should be occupied with God's service, that we should have a loose grip upon this world. We are pilgrims. We are looking to another kingdom, another life. We are looking beyond this world. We are passing through it. We are seeking to prepare ourselves for glory by putting to death the flesh and being renewed in the inner man. Oh, I wonder whether or not today this is true of you, that like Simeon, you are living in the expectancy of the coming of Christ. Perhaps you are suffering right now and you are faced with trying circumstances. Be comforted in this truth. Christ is coming again for you, and He will come. Be certain of it. Be sure of it and be comforted by it. But then secondly, you will notice that Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit to Christ. He was led by the Holy Spirit to Christ. In some ways, I think this is the most beautiful part of this passage, because we read in verse 27, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said," and so on. Here we see that Simeon was under the control of the Spirit. And as the Spirit was moving him, it resulted in him being brought to Christ. That is an essential truth for us to grasp. Because here on display is this marvelous work of the Spirit who was moving upon Simeon so effectually and influencing him such that he came into the temple at exactly the right time. Now I want you to think with me for a moment on this, because this really is special. The temple would have been full of people. Worshippers coming in to sacrifice and so forth. Crowds and crowds of people. And remember that Simeon had never seen the infant Christ before. He probably had never met the Lord's parents. He wouldn't have known what to look for. He didn't know the time that they were coming into the temple. He didn't know any of these things. He was just waiting for Jesus Christ. And we read there, he came by the Spirit, or under the influence of the Spirit, into the temple. The Spirit drew him to Christ. Oh, if you are to be brought to Christ, it is by the Spirit. And that is why you and I need to pray for the Spirit to work in our hearts. If you want to know Christ more, then you need to pray for the Spirit to be at work in your life. How dependent we are upon the Holy Ghost to be brought to the knowledge of Christ in the Word. Surely it's noteworthy too that Simeon met Christ in the temple. It was there in the sanctuary of God that Simeon met the Lord. There's a lesson here for us too. If we are to meet with Christ, then we are to go to His Word. We are to assemble together for worship and pray that the Spirit will open our eyes to see Him. And that is what's so precious about public worship, isn't it? Because we see a fresh view of Christ. Christ is revealed to us in a deep and wonderful way as we are with God's people in worship. And what a blessing and a joy it is to be led to Christ by the Holy Paraclete, whose express purpose is to guide us to Christ and glorify Him. That is the Spirit's purpose. And here we see that displayed in Simeon. Surely too, as we think of the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, this too was his experience. We read of that in Revelation 1, that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And so the Spirit was upon him, at work in his mind and in his heart. And what happened as the Spirit was operating? He received the revelation of Jesus Christ. A marvelous view of Christ in all his glory and power and victory. And surely again we're seeing the same thing, that if we are to see Christ in a deeper way, in a way that draws us to love Him more and to serve Him with more zeal, then we need the Spirit to be upon us and guiding us. Certainly we can say of Simeon that he most certainly was a born-again man, because the leading of the Spirit is proof of the new birth. And we see that in Romans 8 and the verse 14. If you look with me in Romans 8 and the verse 14, there we read, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So the point is being made that those who know the work of the Spirit, the influence of the Spirit, the guiding of the Spirit in their lives, can be certain that they are the children of God. And so this then ties into the whole issue of assurance. Perhaps you're lacking assurance tonight. You have question marks over yourself. Satan may have come and raised doubt in your mind. Well, look for the work of the Spirit in your life. Pray for the Spirit's work in your life. And as you observe the Spirit of God leading you, revealing Christ to you, teaching you through the Word, giving you discernment and instruction and wisdom in life, then be assured that you are a child of God, because the Spirit leads and guides those in whom He has regenerated and brought new life to them. We are commanded to walk in the Spirit, which means we are to be responsive to His promptings. We are to cooperate with His holy influence to conform us to Christ. Oh, dear people, do not grieve the Spirit. Do not resist His promptings. Do not pull away from His urging you in your own soul to grow in Christ. When you feel those promptings to pray, get on your knees. When you feel those promptings to take up the word, follow them. When the Spirit prompts you in situations where you need discernment, then be responsive, because the Spirit will bring us to see Christ. When the Spirit prompts you and gives you that desire to worship the Lord and to be in His house, then rejoice in it and seek that you might feel even stronger in those desires. Or we need to pray that the Spirit will teach us of Christ, will help us to follow Him, will grant us grace to obey Him, will help us to be submissive, to conform every area of our life to Him, and to do all for His glory, all to be led by the Spirit more and more to Christ. That ought to be our desire. But then thirdly and finally, you will notice that Simeon lauded the purposes of God in Christ. He lauded the purposes of God in Christ. We read of that from verse 29, where Simeon gives this prophecy, and we read there, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Isn't it obvious here that whenever we are brought to see Christ, and even in this situation, Simeon is able to hold the Lord Jesus in his arms, that as we have that experience, we are brought to praise. And we sense that in these words. As Simeon looks upon the infant Savior, he bursts forth in glorifying God, in magnifying the purposes of God, in rejoicing in the redemption of God. And he begins to speak prophetically. He reveals Christ's coming was part of God's great purpose and plan. And we see then that as Simeon was brought to the knowledge of Christ in a deeper way, it resulted in glorifying God. Isn't this true in our Christian experience? Theology leads to doxology. The truth of Christ, the truth of God, should lead us to rejoice and to give glory to God. And this is what is occurring here. As he praises and glorifies God, he shows that he understood that Christ alone saves. Christ alone saves. He says there, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He knew that this child had come to be the Savior. He knew that not all would receive him, but those who would receive him would be delivered. It seems that his words in verse 34 and 35 show that he knew that Christ would be the Savior through the cross and through death, through sacrifice. And so he was a man then who knew that Christ had come to be the sacrifice for sinners, to take their sins upon himself. He knew that this child was both God and man. He blessed God, we read. He says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Here is a child who is God and yet has taken on flesh. He knows that this child is the Savior. And then as well, he understood that this Savior would save many people. Aren't those words marvelous there in verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He is not just a Savior for Israel. He is not just a Savior for the Jews to glorify in. But here's one who's come to lighten the Gentiles, which means to bring revelation, to bring knowledge, to bring the Gentiles into the light of the knowledge of God and the gospel. And think about this, because Simeon was a Jew. And as a Jew, he was filled with gladness that God had honored his promise. But at the very same time, he recognizes that this child isn't just for the Jew. He is also for the Gentiles. He is prepared before the face of all people. Isn't this wonderful? Our Lord Jesus Christ was revealed as the light to reach all kinds of peoples. And Simeon then, as he saw the Savior, he rejoiced that God's abundant mercy is extended not only to God's ancient people, but to God's people in all times. And isn't it wonderful for you and for me that the Savior has come for us? He has brought light to us. He has been prepared for us, the church. Isn't this amazing? Christ has been prepared by God in eternity to be our Savior and our Redeemer for the purpose of bringing us to the light, bringing us into fellowship with God. Surely these are things then that would cause our hearts to rejoice and that it would strike a note of praise. Oh, may that be so. Surely these are things that we can bring to the Lord in prayer, because that's what we need to pray for in these days, that the light of the gospel will shine into the hearts of the lost, that the Spirit will draw people to Christ, and that there will be many, many people who will be brought into the knowledge of God and will be rejoicing in Christ and in His salvation. Is that true of you tonight? And it's something that we need to pray for. Pray that God will give you an expectancy for the coming of Christ. Pray that the Holy Ghost will come upon you in a greater way, in a fuller way, and will bring you into a deeper knowledge of Christ. And pray that the great truths of God's Word and God's purpose of salvation will so impact you that you will be brought to praise and to glorify the God of our salvation. May that be so, and may the Lord indeed grant us that we too, like Simeon, will have such experiences by His own divine grace. Amen.